you know what I like for breakfast? A bit of Benamab.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the... Hey, you're listening to Shindy Bremer Show. It's Christmas! It's Christmas time! And there's no need to be afraid.
Why?
Because it's Christmas time! And the world around the world are people and places. And together we can think it's Christmas time. So say a prayer. Come on. Pray for the other one. It's Christmas time, but not when you're having fun. Is that right? There's a world outside your window.
Look at it.
And the world is falling down. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? Oh, good grief. What's going up with the Christmas show, Ben?
Well, Marv, we've got all the usual... I don't know. I wasn't here for the production meeting.
I've got it all in hand, Ben. Shall I tell you what's coming up in the show?
Marv, why don't you tell us what's coming up in the rest of the show?
Well, of course, we've got the Lost Tapes back, Ben. We're going to be having a Shindig Christmas quiz. We're going to be tasting some Shindig Christmas beers, Ben, which is what the cups are here for.
Woo!
A little bit of a special show. The quiz is a big one, which means we're doing your buffet in the middle of the quiz section.
What buffet?
To give people plenty of time to write their answers, because you've got a lot of writing to do, because it's Christmas. And everyone loves a very tricky quiz at Christmas, Ben, with lots of writing.
Speaking of writing, Pete's been in touch, so Pete's emailed too.
Well, how did he email us, Ben?
What are the contact details?
Oh,
Ben and Marv, it's fcumradio.co.uk, or through Twitter at fcumradio.
I didn't think you had time to squeeze it in, but you did. That's what she said, Marv. I know, mate. I know. It's all right. We haven't got a comedy partner to say that's what she said. You have to rely on yourself. I know, Marv. You haven't taught yourself. I know, Marv. It's Christmas. I know, Marv. Shut up. Back to the single person. Shindy Christmas, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Christmas!
It's Christmas! That was really
Are your neighbours... Still here? They've gone away for Christmas.
No, they're here, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, that'll get them in the mood. Someone randomly shouting in the middle of the apartment block, just Christmas.
Yeah, I should think so, Ben.
That's
joyous. Yeah, absolutely.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
So, Merry Christmas, one and all. What time is
Except
this show going
you.
On, Ben?
Except you.
No, to everyone, Ben.
Oh, except you.
No, Ben, to everybody. We're spreading love in this show, all right? We're remembering that everything that's happened so far in 2016 should mostly be forgotten about, and it's time to be warm to one another.
I can't forget you, Marv.
It's Ben. It's time to put the hate away.
Look at this.
Ben, this is my thoughts on the matter, right? Before you get into that.
Yes?
Hating people and spreading the concept of hate and getting angry at others only makes people angry in misdirected ways.
You're right, Marv.
So the only way to battle against the entire problem, Ben, is by constantly spreading joy. And even when someone says something ridiculous, Ben, you turn around and go, that's an interesting opinion, let's discuss it.
No. I love you and hug the person.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. It's like, I can't remember who it was you were talking about a while ago, but you said they just need a good hug. And I think everyone in the world, Ben, right now needs a good hug. So listeners, if you're listening together, just turn to one another right now and give each other a good old Christmas hug.
In fact...
Make this noise. Hang on, make this noise.
In fact, at home now, shout at your laptop or your mobile phone, I love you. Even if you're on the tram.
Just randomly shout it.
I love you, Ben and Marv. I want you to say, I love you, Ben and Marv, at the top of your voice.
Scream it. Come on.
Scream it on the tram.
We wish you a Merry
Everybody.
Christmas
and a happy...
New Year's specials next week, of course.
It's the Christmas show I'm done with. What time is this going out, Ben?
Well, it's going out tomorrow. That's not true. It's going out on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
At 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, right.
It's also going out, I think, potentially on Christmas Day, although I'm still having to rejig the schedule around.
But we are doing a Christmas special, Ben, so we get one of the Christmas Day slots.
Okay. And definitely on Boxing Day.
Well, all 3 days. That's great news, everybody. So Merry Christmas whenever you're listening. So let's get into the show, Ben. What we've got here, aside from a water bottle, which is
is that the mystery prize? The
one there's nothing mystery there. So Ben, we've got two cans you can see here, one bottle.
Right.
Merry Christmas, open up a can. Or a bottle, you know, open up one of them. We're going to taste all three.
Okay.
So we're going to see what we've got here.
That's an annoying sound.
It's the sound of Christmas, that's what
okay,
that is.
Okay, what is this?
What have we got there, Ben? Wait,
I've got it upside down for starters.
Okay.
It's a Heart and Soul mouth.
A Heart and Soul?
It's in a black can. It's a Vocation Brewery. Can't never say it. It's an IPA, which means Indian Pale Ale, of course. Uh-huh. For Swampy, 4.4%, which means that this is about as strong as my 80-year-old Nana.
Lovely stuff. Mm. All right. Well, give it on to me. And Heart and Soul is a great tagline for your Nana's autobiography.
It's all Heart and Soul.
All Heart and Soul. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Do you want to carry and open the next one, Ben, while I pour these ones out? Get that open there.
Okay, and the next one. Again, I've opened it up upside down, Marv. It's almost like you've deliberately... Is the bottle the right way up?
It's a visual joke, everybody. You're not here for that one, but it's a great one.
This is Piston Head. It's full amber lager, this one, Marv. It's dry hopped with Citra and Cascade. Isn't Cascade just waterfalling? So it means... doesn't mean anything.
Well, it either means waterfalling, Ben, or it means disseminating information amongst an organisation. You can cascade a bulletin.
This is 6%, Marv.
Hello there, let's pass it over.
This means it's as strong as your mum.
What scale that means. My mum has a 6% strength. Is that a good thing? I mean, she's in her 70s, so... Is she in her 70s?
I don't think she's in her 70s.
That's tricky that you've said that out loud, Marv. Ben, open the bottle, please. Come on, play the game. Okay. I'm pouring out the Piston Head.
Okay, right.
Piston Head.
So this next one...
What I meant to do, by the way, what I meant to do earlier, right? What I meant to do
was
I was going to research these beers so we could sound intelligent on the show, but then I wrapped them in wrapping paper and then realised my error.
Happy Christmas, everyone. This is Doombar. I'm seeing a bit of a running theme in the name of these beers, Marv. I think Darren Brown would have a field day with what you've... picked.
Now, have you never had a Doom bar before? This is quite a common beer, a Doom.
Sharps.
Sharps. I don't know why you said that so ridiculously, Ben. All right. Maybe you can just talk some Christmas chat while I'm... Hang on, Ben. What have you been doing this week? Oh. We can do that. Hang on. What have you been up to, Ben?
Well, Marv, it all started on Saturday when I was joined... on a gantry by myself and Stato Paul, which isn't unusual nowadays.
Not unusual to be Stato Paul.
But he was joined by somebody this week, Marv. Swampy turned up.
What?
Swampy was there.
Swampy's back.
From China. And not only that, Marv, who else was with him? Roy Sewell.
Good grief.
And not just any old Roy Sewell. Roy Sewell with a bottle of Vimto in his hand. It was all happening, Marv. It was crazy times. So we did the commentary. Decent game of football in the end. Finished...
decent game of football, Marv. Decent game.
1-1 it finished. 1-1. And then on Sunday, my laptop broke.
Oh.
So I spent all morning trying to log into my laptop to get the files.
Oh.
And I just managed to get them all sent on SendSpace just in time.
Like it was fate, Ben.
It was almost like the computer going, I'm trying as hard as I can.
I'm just going to send this one.
It was like that.
Like Short Circuit.
It's like one of those final death scenes in a film. Yeah, it was like Short Circuit, just battling away, trying to get to the end, and then it sent the file and went, that's me done.
Yeah. Did you have to get out a defibrillator and shock it back into life, like in Short Circuit
2?
No,
I had to spend about £110 on a new hard drive.
Tricky.
Yes. So that was fun all week.
Of course, the beauty of Johnny Five is that he knew how to fix himself. Your laptop probably knows how to fix itself, but doesn't have the ability to communicate
that to you. It's got no hands, Marv.
Yeah.
Short circuit.
Good point,
hands.
Ben.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
I should say on Friday, Marv, I went to watch Rogue One, the new Star Wars.
I've still not seen it.
Marv, I have to tell you, it's cracking.
Yeah, you enjoyed
it. It's cracking. It's really, really good.
Is this like you saying the Star Trek was really good and I got really angry?
No, this is better than Episode 7. That was last
of Star Wars.
Star Wars episode right. 7.
Sorry, we're crossing.
Come on, Marv.
We're crossing genres
chop,
now.
Chop. Yeah. So anyway, my review of Rogue One goes like this. It's brilliant. The first third, because these things are done in thirds nowadays, aren't they? The first third is very choppy. You go from one planet to the next, and it's like, I don't like this. And it's actually telling you the planets that they're going to as well, like it's the X-Files. It's a bit like, it's too much. This is too much going on. Then in the second part, it's a bit more character developing and a bit, I'm starting to care about these people. And then the final part, Marv, is just absolute boom. Absolute boom.
Just boom.
Just boom.
Boom.
It's like bang, boom, bang-a-bang, boom, boom, bang. It's just boom and bang, Marv.
That's a lot of noises.
There's some old characters come back. Some are a bit forced. There's a couple of times where you go, I don't think that was needed. But the surprising thing is they brought back an old character who, obviously, you know the premise of the film. It's just before episode 4, A New Hope.
Uh-huh.
So obviously there's got to be characters who are on that Death Star from episode 4.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, some of the main characters on that ship not just died on the ship, but have since died in real life because of age.
Age, yeah. Yeah.
So there was a bit in there where they're going to a commander who was very famous in episode 4, and they go to him, and he's looking out into space, out of the window of the spaceship, towards the Death Star. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's that character.
Yeah.
That's all you think. You think it's going to be a bit cheap. He's not going to turn around. It's just his profile kind of thing. Marv, that character then turns round,
yeah,
and gives dialogue with his face moving.
It's kind of terrifying, isn't it?
And also, Marv, I should say, it doesn't stop there. He's got a proper big role in the film. His face is moving. And I'm looking at this going,
are you sure he's dead?
You remember in... Yeah, definitely. You remember in... It's not someone like... I don't want to spoil it.
No, don't spoil
it.
But are you sure that the actor has died?
The actor has definitely died.
You're sure about that?
I'm definitely sure.
Because I know this, you know, because they just started doing these things, didn't they? Like with a stand-up where they've got like a 3D version of Les
Did it
Dawson
with,
on stage and
they
stuff
did
like
it
that.
With Elvis and with Tupac, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously.
Snoop Dogg was doing a thing with Tupac on
you
the
say
stage.
Obviously, it was amazing. We're really into our rap and...
But in this case, it was amazing because it does ask the question, who... Does he star in that film? Because that's not his voice. It's the guy from Holby City doing the voice.
Right.
But that's definitely his face. And who gave permission for that?
I mean, it's a beautiful thing that, you know, once we pass away, Ben, we're going to be able to carry on Shindig TV.
Well, Laura said that.
It's
Laura
said it's going to take us a lot more production work.
Laura said that because Laura said, you've basically said, I'm pretty sure you've said pretty much every single word available in the human language now.
I mean, so, you talk a lot, so yeah.
And you talk a lot, and you know, right. Imagine what Swamp... Actually, Swampy says the same things over and over again, though.
Right, let's get into these beers, all right?
No, I just want to tell you the finishing bit of the story.
Oh, I thought you finished, I'm sorry.
No, so it's...
Oh, you look really upset then, mate. I'm really sorry.
So it's really, really good. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10.
If this is your ending that we've come back to, you could have just moved on.
It's 8 out of 10. It's very, very good, and it's just very, very good. And it's like... Saving Private Ryan, but with Star Wars. It's very gutsy. Right. It's not one for the kids.
Chapter 9.
Do you want to have a go? Do you want to bring back the audio quiz?
Yeah.
There we go.
Food and drink.
Food and drink.
Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Bread.
Pan.
Pane.
It's Italian, Ben, so you're not going to get any of these, mate.
Come on,
seriously, though, let's get the beers. Right, first up, Ben, we're going to be trying the Vocation Brewery Heart and Soul Session IPA, which is a 4.4%. Give us your initial reactions, please.
It smells citrus, eh?
Yeah?
Yeah, it's got like a... It smells of lemons or limes.
Well, its intense fruit salad character comes from generous additions of U.S. West Coast hops, Ben. Let's try this full-bodied and fruity beer with notes of passion fruit, grapefruit, gooseberry, pineapple, and mango.
It smells like squash. Oh my God, that's disgusting.
That's the worst thing that I've tasted in a while, isn't it?
Oh. Well.
Our beer is naturally hazy. No kidding. Kittering?
Kittering?
Oh, it's hit home.
Keep drinking.
Because filtering kills the flavour. Never pasteurise, store cool and drink fresh.
Just to say, if you're listening to this on Boxing Day at 10 a.m, we're probably drunk anyway, but this is pre-recorded.
Oh, I'll be drunk on Boxing Day at 10 a.m. Right, well, that's awful.
That is disgusting, man.
That one straight down.
Yep. Next.
Moving on. Now, this one is the Piston Head, is dry hop with Citra and Cascade.
It looks like...
This is a 6%, so this is stepping up the alcohol rating, Ben.
Marv, if I can just describe what it looks like that bit of the river, the riverbank. That bit of the riverbank where, you know, it's frothing up and you're going, I wonder what's gone in the water there. That does not look good. Maybe I should call the Environment Agency.
Well, Ben, let's commit to it and give it a go. It has come straight from the can, which is great news. This has got a spicy citrus edge. So it's, the other one had citrus as well, so.
That doesn't taste of anything.
That's way better than the first one.
It doesn't taste of anything. It's like
bitter. It's quite mild. Bitter and mild. This is a bit like Saturday Morning Kitchen you get these days, which is now on all week because it's Christmas, and they've got two presenters for it now, which doesn't work in any way because they both cook at the same time. They both do a dish at the same time, which are different dishes, which just means there are long gaps where they're both waiting for each other to talk, and no one does. That's the
Piston Head. Wait, no, it was time then. There was time.
No, we did enough of it. That's fine. Oh, Ben, we've not got much time in the show, so we don't waste it.
Okay. Next.
What did you think of that one?
Much better than the first.
Mm. So the first was like a... Can we agree on points? I'd give it like a 3.
2.
Let's agree on a... I mean, in the range of beers available, Ben, you know, let's not say it's bottom. You know.
All right, it's better than Carlsberg.
It's a 3. Let's give it a 3.
A 3, because it's wet.
It's wet. Yeah, it did get wet. The second one's definitely moving up.
A 5.
I was going to say suggest a 6, but I talked to you on first time. So yeah, it's a solid 5. I think that's a bit unfair of you, but... To 5. So let's move on to Sharp's Doombar, Ben. This is from Cornwall. It's an amber ale established in 1994.
This
4.3%, Ben.
This smells like 42nd Street did in 2001.
Oh, there's a story with this one, Ben. At the mouth of the Camel Estuary in Rock, Cornwall, lies the treacherous Doombar Sandbank, the inspiration for this exceptional amber ale.
Why is it treacherous?
I'll tell you. The sandbank is revered as a formidable nautical challenge that should be approached with respect and navigated with skill.
Well, we're just drinking it. We're not the Spanish Armada.
No, that's the sandbar. That's not the you know what we're drinking. Oh, that's my favourite of the bunch, right?
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's got... See, this is what I don't understand about... Because these flashy IPAs that you get, they've all got citrus in it. It's not like a proper beer, is it? It doesn't taste like you're drinking part soil. And that's what I miss. Even when they put the flashy widget in John Smith, you went, I can still taste the earth. You know, whatever they've put in this, I still feel like it's been put together by men with dirt under their fingernails.
Who smoke all day.
Yeah!
Yeah, I like my beer to taste a bit like an ashtray.
These IPAs, these are also put together by men, because obviously women aren't allowed in the industry, Ben. These men that put these together, though, are your metrosexual types.
They wash their hands.
Oh,
they've got... Do the nails.
Designer beards, yeah. Ben. Yeah,
not like this.
Oh, not
look
like
at
yours.
This!
Yeah. This is a beer for your kind of beard, Ben. And you know what? You get that for the show, mate. That's yours. You enjoyed it.
Yes.
I am going to take...
You want these two back?
No, I don't want that one. I want the Piston Head. The one that looked like a muddy river. Yeah. Put that in there, yeah, please, yeah. You haven't mixed the beers, have you? Promise me you haven't mixed the beers.
Why would I mix the beers? Look.
Because I don't want mixed beers, and that would be a cruel trick to play.
Why would I mix
the... Considering I've given you the best
Marv,
beer of the
you're the
bunch.
Host.
I've given you the best beer of the bunch. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just briefly tell you about my favourite trick I've ever played on Ben, which was back in the days we worked together in the same company. We got in the
what,
lift.
FC United?
We got in the lift to go up a couple of floors, and just as we got in the lift, I asked Ben to have a look at his scarf, and it was a lovely scarf. It was perfectly fine, and then just as the doors were closing, I threw the scarf out of the lift. The doors closed, went up two floors, and there was nothing Ben could do about it, and it was probably the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. Okay, let's move on with the show.
Did that pop into your brain this morning when you were in a shower or something and you made you laugh in the shower?
Whenever it does come back into my brain, it does make me laugh out loud. That is true. Right, let's play
Christmas!
A Christmas song.
No, what have you done this week?
Eh?
What have you done this week?
Oh, I don't know, mate.
Marv, I'll ask you again just for comedy purposes. What have you done this week?
Well, Ben, my friends have been back from Australia and I've been showing them around town because they've not seen the city now for a couple of years, and obviously the entire landscape has completely changed. You know, where the Dutch pancake house once was,
gone.
Now it's gone, Ben. It's a massive building. Looks like we're in Gotham. It's ridiculous over there. I played a game over the thing saying what's missing, and the game was that it wasn't missing. It just they'd moved the Chinese garden statue a bit further down toward the library. Classic game, yeah, yeah. Oh, new tram lines. Oh, new restaurant. Oh, new restaurant. Oh, new bar. Oh, new restaurant. Yeah, there's a lot of those. We went to the Refuge,
yes,
which is the new bar at the Palace Hotel. We went to Ply in the Northern Quarter. We went to Dusk Till Pawn.
You told cocktails. Us that last week.
Wait, am I doing last week's
yes.
news? Yes. What have I done this week? Oh, this week I went shopping for gifts. Finally bought a couple of gifts for Ben's yes. kids.
And guess what happened, Mav? You folded, didn't you? You text Laura and said, what do the kids want?
Ben, I don't see why it's me folding. What happens if I don't text your wife?
Last week's show.
What happens, Ben, is your kids don't get gifts at Christmas. And that would have been on your head, mate. I'm helping you out as a dad.
Last week's show, if you listen back to it, there's a big cloud looming over last week's recording, and it's all surrounding this. What do your kids want? I don't know. Ask me, miss.
Why don't you know? It's still a problem. You're the dad. Why don't you know? You can't be one of these dads that just goes, I'm off to the football, sweetheart, all right? You want me to get anything from the shops? I don't care. I'll get something for myself, like some beers. Yeah, that's right. You
gin.
Can't be that kind of...
Gin,
yeah.
Gin.
You can't be that kind of dad, Den. Den, Ben. Ben, Den, Den. Ready, Den, Ben, Den, Den. I'm just going to finish this link now with noises. Ready, Den, Den, Ben, Den, 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 Christmas. Well, let's see what's in the Christmas gallery, shall we? Yeah. In one, who needs Rudolph when you've got a 3 years' worth of travel from Southern Rail? In two, look after your children's future with this application for your Irish heritage. In three, I'll pop a can in your... I'll pop a cap in your acetate. It's stationary set. In four, take a moment to pity others. It's 2 free tickets to watch Jeremy Kyle. In five, Gordon's alive. It's the Queen back catalogue, better known as the Greatest Hits of Queen Volumes 1 and 2. In six, it'll be lonely this Christmas, so here's some London gin. In seven, what's that in your stocking? Oh yeah, it's an all-expenses weekend trip to Clitheroe. A bloody special prize. A bloody massive eagle that looks like Donald Trump. That's what I was going for. I mean, a lot of words. I decided to make this one part satirical, part ridiculous.
Good, Mav. It's good.
I liked my favourite joke in there, Ben, was it's the Queen back catalogue, or as it's better known, the Greatest Hits of Queen, Volumes 1 and 2, because that's all people own. I go, oh, I love Queen. Hey, which albums you got? Greatest Hits 1 and 2.
It's like The Who.
The Who, another good example of it. I thought you were going to say The Beatles, but no, people go for Beatles albums, but The Who.
No, Partridge doesn't, and there's a lot of Partridge people doesn't. Like Partridge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My favourite album's the one album. Happy Christmas!
And yet, Christmas comes with a threatening edge. As the Untouchables theme music kicks again, kicks in again, kicks in again, which also rhymes with Ben, on the Shindy Breakfast Show. Let's get back to the point. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Merry Christmas, Pete. Thank you again for emailing us, Pete. And we don't get a chance to say this very much, Pete, but we would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas. You and your pottery. Whatever shoes you choose to wear, Pete, whether it's the shoes of a father, the shoes of a good husband, the shoes of a mentor to Margaret, the shoes of a china teapot. Surrealism finally kicking in after a full can of Piston Head, Pete. It's the good news for you, because it's your section, mate, your segment, it's your sequence. It's the bit where people sit up and say, who is Pete? What is a china teapot? I mean, I know what a china teapot is, but is it code?
How do you spell mosaic?
M-O-S-A-I, who cares? Gentlemen, Pete says, thanks to the JCB operator who was digging a hole near to our house, we were without phone and internet for a whole 10 days.
His excuses are becoming dangerous.
10 days, that's a long time to go. As a self-confessed technophobe, I have to say that I never thought I would miss being without the internet, but tragically, I missed the shindig 2 weeks ago. He missed it, Ben. It's gone. It's in the past.
I think it was a repeat that week.
It was a repeat that week, yeah. However, on last week's shindig, I heard you mention that you were considering ideas for possible fundraising events. What do you think to my daughter Holly's idea, which apparently worked really well at her school, of you two doing a sponsored silence? She's a bright girl, says Pete. She's a bright girl, but I'm not quite sure that she's fully thought this one through. Pete, I hope you're willing to take constructive criticism on behalf of your lovely daughter Holly, but it's a radio show, mate.
It'll work.
Should we give it a go?
Yeah.
All right. Wait. We need to set up the sponsored silence. We can't just go silent.
Oh, this is a
sponsored... Otherwise, it's not fundraising.
This is a sponsored silence.
Send your money to...
The club office. Entitle your brick with letter attached. Silence.
Anyway, on behalf of the whole family, I would like to wish you, all of your kith and kin, and of course, your other listener... a very Merry Christmas indeed, and a cracking New Year. WBITITNY Pete. That's WBITITNY Pete.
The last one's New Year. Surely.
Surely.
With bits.
Pete, your final acronym of 2016 is going to stump us, mate. But Merry Christmas to you and to Margaret and to your kids and to Cheryl. No one forgets about Cheryl. To Pete, our Christmas and 2016 legend.
With bits in the igloo, that's New Year.
That's New Year. I mean, that's what they say, isn't it? Well, with bits in the igloo, that's New Year. Oh, dear. Right, now, what time is it? Good God.
We've got ages yet, Mav.
Now, Ben, before we go any further, it's time to talk about this week's Lost tapes. But for those people that haven't heard this before, Ben, do you want to give a quick introduction to what's going on?
Now,
I mean, it's quite the revelation.
Lost was a very successful TV show back in the early 2000s when, you know, life was fine. There was obviously a couple of illegal wars here or there, but generally, we were all right, really. However... It was
the start of a path, though, wasn't it, Ben?
Yeah, this is where it was all started, in my humble opinion.
Let's not get distracted.
Lost was terrible, but people loved it, and people convinced themselves that it was fine. Arguably, like voting for certain people, they've convinced themselves it's fine. This is where it all started, Mav. Lost.
Project love, Ben. Project love. Project love, Ben.
I tolerate people who like Lost.
It's not quite the same.
So anyway... Marv scoured the internet and found this recording, which he's happily separated into 16 bite-sized chunks. That's right. There's another 13 of these.
I don't think I said they're going to do that many. Let's not get carried away. I've not made these, though, Ben. I mean, like you say, I've broken them up into chunks. So these, ladies and gentlemen, Ben hasn't explained it very well there. These are tapes that have recently been recovered from the island of Lost. Turns out that actually happened, ladies and gentlemen.
The name of the island.
It was a
you don't
documentary.
Even know the name of the island.
It was a document. What?
You don't even know the name of the island.
There is no name of the island. It's called The Island.
Really?
Yeah. If you were
lazy,
Lost,
right?
If you'd watched Lost, you'd know that, right?
Oh yeah, because how would they know what the island was called?
Because
they were lost,
and
it wasn't real.
Because they were
dead.
Dead. That's right, Ben. Yeah, that's right. That is unfortunately what we found out.
Spoilers.
Since The people lost on that island were actually dead. But the good news is, Ben, that someone just down the beach, just near the survivors of Flight Oceanic 815, he also survived. His name's Sebastian, and he recorded his diaries to let you know what's been happening on the island, in like a behind the scenes. And now, luckily, we've recovered these tapes. This is all real. This is all real. This is all real.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
My name is Sebastian Jacobi. I have been left stranded on a desert island following the crash of flight Oceanic 815 from Sydney to Los Angeles. I crash landed with some people who are, in the main, absolute a**s. So I've separated myself from the group and plan to live alone. This is my audio diary. Start of message. The problem is that this island has now started introducing the concept of bringing characters to the island who don't belong there. Which means, of course, that if it can create those people, it can also create another version of someone who is already on the island, but make them appear on another part of the same island. I mean, This is all, of course, means that all the conversations that happen, therefore, are entirely without meaning. Bringing an extra layer of lack of meaning, of course, is when you also consider the fact that everyone's dead. So, once you've folded in that level of empty meaning into this science fiction, mystery island, hammy, slapstick drama, all the good points go out the window. What good points would you say? Well, Charlie's dead. I mean, like, proper dead. I mean, if he died before coming to the island, and then he died here, I mean, he's got to be really dead now, hasn't he? He wrote a list of his top five favourite moments in his life before he died and gave that to Claire. Meeting me wasn't on it. Screw you, Charlie, from Drive Shaft. Charlie Shaft, more like. Yeah. In other news, the passengers have now found, like, a billion hatches, a horse, some polar bears, a rabbit, their own parents, an annoying frog, a golden retriever, a series of inoperable satellite phones, three boats, a submarine, and now a helicopter. And we're out of Europe. More people have since come to the island who have explained that everyone is dead, but everyone's carrying on regardless. In the same spirit, I started a stand-up comedy night down on the beach. I've called it Smack My Beach Up. Next week, I understand Michael McIntyre is going to be headlining. That should be good. End of message.
Oh, am I back in it?
Great.
I've always wanted to be in a TV show. Oh. It's actually me talking.
Yeah, just talking over
the
top.
Sorry. So, there you go.
More interesting insight into what actually happened when those people did, unfortunately, get tragically lost on that island.
The island that they didn't know the name of. It's now time for the media review. And is it now time to do The Apprentice? We'll do the little bits of media first, and then we'll end the show
on The Big
Apprentice.
The big
The Queen's got a cold, Mav.
Oh, no. Sure.
Yeah, and everyone's going crazy, Mav. The Queen's speech. What is going
to
happen on Christmas Day, Mav?
Well, that's pre-recorded, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's got to be pre-recorded by someone. Helen Mirren stepping in.
No. I mean, it's probably already been recorded. We're quite close to Christmas.
Oh, you mean like Hootenanny?
Yeah.
Ah.
Do you know, I met someone last year that still didn't know...
Hootenanny was pre-recorded in November.
They're in the 30s.
Mark Austin has bid farewell to ITN for 30 years. I've only included this because you sent me a text a couple of weeks ago about ITN and we never really covered it. And I feel it's about time that we dealt with this issue of ITN, Mav. Mav, ITN.
It was genuinely like watching the day-to-day. It was really weird because... They'd have an analyst out on site somewhere. I can't remember what that was. They were covering.
Was his name O'Hanrahan?
But they were out talking about something, and they were getting pretty opinionated about it, whichever thing there was they were talking about. And it finished with, you know, so terrible times here, back to the studio. And the guy that was on hosting the thing in the studio went, terrible times indeed. It's like, you don't need to say that. You don't need to kind of add this extra flavour to it. We've got it from there. Just do your job. Be a host and move on.
It's fake empathy.
Yeah, exactly. It was just...
Even Kay Burley doesn't do fake empathy.
No, she doesn't do empathy at all.
No.
But at least she knows it.
And the viewer knows.
Yeah.
Whereas ITN, I don't know. I don't even think they know what it is.
I don't think they know what they are. But yeah, it was an experience.
News has been released this week, Mav, which is quite shocking, in my humble opinion. You speak about Hootenanny being pre-recorded, destroying the magic of television. Let me tell you this, Mav. Richard Osman, on Pointless.
Oh, yeah.
His laptop.
Yeah, it's not real.
It's not even switched on.
No, it's not.
This is absolutely appalling. I've just found this out.
I've known this for years.
It's absolutely appalling, Mav.
Why is it appalling? Why do you think he's got a deck of cards sitting there?
To humour himself.
The weird thing is why he fake uses the laptop.
That's what I mean. What's the point in it?
I'm not sure. But maybe they felt like they needed to include it for some reason.
Speaking of which, Chris Sutton, Mav.
Great footballer. Are we doing football talk?
Football talk.
All right.
Chris Sutton.
Tall. I liked him.
As a footballer, didn't like him. Oh. I thought he was overrated.
All right.
Immensely.
Okay.
Especially in his Blackburn days.
Okay, it's a shame.
However,
yeah.
As a TV pundit.
Right.
I really like Chris Sutton.
Yeah,
and
why?
I'm starting to question my humanity.
Why is he like it so much?
In this post-truth era, am I have I been affected by this lack of, you know, awareness of things? Is this what happens? And you become, you know, you cling on to the nearest thing that makes any sense. And for me,
and that's
Chris Sutton.
That's a shame of a place you got yourself to, isn't it?
But he's good, isn't he?
I don't really remember seeing him. I mean, I remember seeing him, but I don't remember striking me either way. Maybe the fact that he didn't strike me either way means that he's brilliant, whereas the rest of them just annoy me.
There's a couple of YouTube clips now appearing, because Scottish football on BT Sport, I'll be honest, Marv, has been drab for years. In fact, I'd rather watch Australian League football on a Saturday morning.
Do you mean Australian rules?
No. They're on BT Sport, they show Australian football.
Like Australian soccer?
Yes.
That's a shame.
In the morning, about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Tim Cahill
live,
still playing?
Live. Newcastle Jets v Adelaide. Oh. Be there. Mm. Yeah. I double the crowd, actually, in attendance, actually there, by watching it.
Oh, it's a shame.
It is a shame. It's terrible, Marv. Seriously. Really, really bad. But anyway, back to the point. BT Sports Scottish football has been crying out for some kind of attention. And Chris Sutton and, is it Steve Cragan? Cragan, who used to play for Partick Thistle, I think he used to play for. Those two hate each other, clearly.
And that adds spice to the programme.
Big time. It's the only thing worth watching.
Like we mentioned earlier on as well, talking about punditry, the guys on the NFL show are fantastic. The former American football players. One of them was a former quarterback, I think. OT, is that his name?
Chapman.
That, and with Chapman as well, that's how sports shows should be. Because when they talk about it, they do talk about it in depth and with interest. They've clearly played the sport and you can tell, whereas opposed to watching Danny Murphy talk about football, which
and
is
the presenter,
horrendous.
The presenter wants to know.
Yeah, Chapman does such a good job. I mean, he makes it look so easy. Really, really easy, but it's not. What is wrong with you?
I've just got a cough also.
Have some of the Doom Bar.
That's what I'm drinking.
I'll drink a bit more of it.
So anyway, in other news, Marv, Sherlock's back next week.
Yes.
And there's a lot of conjecture on various websites and various interviews that cast members have given that perhaps this is the last series.
Well, I thought we know that it is, don't we?
No, we don't know. People have suggested it's going to go to 5 series, but a few people have said it's only going to have 4.
Where did we finish off then? I remember the ridiculous plane episode where nothing happened.
That was where we were.
The Christmas special. What went before that? So he shot the guy that had the Mind Palace.
Yeah.
And he got sent away in a plane.
And Moriarty came back on a video screen over Piccadilly.
That's right. He got in the plane to leave. Moriarty came back. They turned the plane around to put him back down. In that trip, that 10-minute trip, he did have some kind of
breakdown.
Who knows what it was last year, but I don't imagine we're going to get reference to that anymore.
It was a trip back to the Victorian times.
That's right.
A bit like being at the Tory Party conference. Oh!
Satire. Right, so yeah, so I suppose we're back with Moriarty and we're off to a clean slate.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. The only episode they've given hints at the villain is the guy who played Finger in Finger. The little fella with the bald head. Toby.
Maguire.
No, Toby.
Anstis.
No. It's not Toby, is it? It might be Toby, actually. I think it is Toby.
I've named all the famous Tobys.
He was Captain Mannerin in the recent Dad's Army film. Little fella. Played Fingy in Ticky Tail, Soldier Spy, the Baddie.
I know you mean now, but I don't know what his name is.
It's Toby, isn't it? It's Toby something.
I'll look it up for you, mate.
Anyway, he's the baddie in the first one. But one suggestion which has gathered momentum recently, Marv, is the fact that Sherlock, they're going to quit the pretense, Marv, and it's going to start to become a film franchise.
Say that again?
It's going to start to become a film franchise.
What is? I was looking up Dad's Army.
Sherlock.
Really?
They're going to cut the pretense. Because obviously, the filming schedule, the budget for it, it is nearly a film in itself every time they do a series. They've got two main characters there, two main actors who are film stars now, pretty much. So, yeah. So why not?
Toby Jones.
Nearly right.
I suppose it's a question of money in terms of TV versus film.
I think that because BBC Worldwide makes so much money off Sherlock, because it's big in China. Very big in China. It's big in America. And I think with the actors involved, it's got potential. And there's so much material to choose from that they could use for subject matter, then why not?
But if they don't have to suffer any of the production costs and maintain some kind of fee because they came up with that structure of Sherlock, then that might be of appeal. Business talk, ladies and gentlemen.
And speaking of business talk, here's a segue
made in heaven. We've not done that since Bake Off. Do you remember? We've not really talked about business since Paul Hollywood. God, I remember all that this year. He wasn't on your Celebrity Death List, was it? Bake Off. Should have been on there.
Mav.
Yes, mate.
The Apprentice.
So, The Apprentice. I hadn't watched last week, so let's quickly cover what happened.
Wait, I want to do a little jingle.
All right.
Apprentice. How's that?
Is that it?
That'll work.
You need to do it twice at least. Good. So making it through to the final was young man Courtney with the character of a toadstool and Alana, who had kind of got better as the competition gone on.
She reminded me, though, in a strange way, of Josh Widdicombe. Don't know why.
That's a weird...
It is weird, but I've been watching it for the last couple of weeks going, why does she remind me of Josh Widdicombe? Don't know why.
You couldn't put your finger on it.
No.
That's a shame. So, yeah, they went through this ridiculous process of making their business plans into reality in the final task. And you kind of thought to yourself, well, if this was actually their business plan, why haven't they already thought about a logo? Why haven't they already thought about what kind of products they'd be selling? Why haven't they already thought about whatever? You know, it was all just news to them. Oh, that'd be a good idea if I make that Welsh. Oh, that would be a good idea. Would you have your production company Wales? Well, I don't know, we only thought of the idea yesterday, so let's say yes. That feels like everyone nodding. Yeah, it's definitely going to be. It's Cardiff. Going to put it in Cardiff. That walk down they made them take with the round of applause.
I said, if I was doing that presentation, I couldn't help myself. I'd still be talking on the way down, going, nearly there.
Ben, this is why I love you, mate. Because
I said, we'll be a second.
I said the exact same thing. That I'd get everyone to stop clapping while I was at the top and go, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, my name is Martin. As I walk down, shouting at them.
I'll come down there.
I'll come down. This is a bit silly up here, isn't it? I don't understand
Make
the concept.
Them like you.
I don't understand the concept of being enthusiastic about a business plan that you've actually, I mean, in both their cases, been working on previously and started setting up already, to then be concerned about fluffing your lines. Because if you know your business, you know your business. In any presentation that works, if you know what you're talking about, you don't need to worry about it. You might get nervous and you might kind of stumble a little bit or forget what you're talking about, but you know what you're talking about, so just move on. You'll come out later and you go, I didn't mention that bit. That would have been good to mention. But it doesn't matter because I know my business. He didn't even have the name of it. Purple Whale. He just made that up with Carpick in a room.
It sounds like a recruitment agency. Doesn't it?
To me, Ben, it sounds like
a temping agency.
Sounds worse than that to me. That's what I was going to say about it.
So, you have been listening to the Christmas special of The Shindig. We'll be back next week with a New Year's special. In the meantime, you can enjoy football. Football talk. Like the FCM Radio Christmas Roast. Like to plug it before we go?
Sure.
Don't know when it's going to air because I've not decided yet, but it will air on Christmas Day. The podcast version is available. It's myself, Stato Paul and Swampy talking about the club, football and everything. It's quite good.
Lovely.
Quite good. FC Live returns on Boxing Day, live from Altrincham. We might have Roy Sewell with us again. Hello.
Hello, Roy.
And don't forget as well the New Year's Day game. That too is against Altrincham.
Lovely stuff. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure producing and presenting radio for you fine Christmas folk this morning. We do sincerely hope that you have a very Merry Christmas and genuinely don't look around at any of the world with any bitterness anymore. Spread the love, ladies and gentlemen. 2016 has been a horror show.
Horror.
2017 is going to be the year of positivity. And when we realise the benefits we're going to get in 20 years down the line just through being nicer to each other, it's going to be a hell of a year. No more sharing of cynical views on Facebook. No more discussing how Dave looks like an idiot today. No more thinking about the clothing that women politicians wear. None of it anymore. We're just going to support each other and be happy. It's going to be a weird old world, but you know what? We'll get through it together.
Did you do that in a kind of Cockney way?
Yeah, I can't remember why, but I connect the word together with a Cockney.
Daphne Celeste.
Danny Dyer. No. Danny Dyer, Daphne.
I feel like we've kind of ruined your point by mentioning Danny Dyer and Daphne Celeste because all three of those people are not likeable people, even when you're trying to be positive.
Ben, you don't need to point it out, though. That's the thing. You don't need to say it out loud. Because even if someone disagrees with you at home, they'll think to themselves, oh, who is it that I don't like? You don't want that thought going in the heads, Ben. All right? No more reference to it. You listen to the Shindig Breakfast Show.
Happy Christmas!
been Ben and Marv on the Shindig Breakfast Christmas Show. Look after yourselves.
Look beer,
after
Marv.
Yourselves and each other. Merry Christmas.
And the Sherry Trifle.
Thank you.